Michael Ballas Show on Radio 720 WGN. Excited to be joined by the legendary Burt Reynolds. Hey, Burt, how are you?
I'm good, man. Thank you.
Excellent. Chicago for Comic-Con, Wizard World Comic-Con. You know, Burt, when I think of you and all the different movies and TV shows, I don't think of you as a Comic-Con type person. Is there a particular role that those people love you for, or is it just because, hey, it's Burt Reynolds? Who in the world wouldn't want to meet Burt Reynolds?
Well, I enjoy talking to the people, you know. I mean, I have a good time with them, especially Chicago people, because they're all a little crazy.
Is there a particular fondness for Chicago at all? I don't, you know, I think of you famously in Florida, and I can't think of a movie that was set that you were in Chicago. Did you get out to Chicago much over the years?
Oh, years ago, I used to do a lot of theater there. I worked out at the racetrack. They had a theater out there, and then I did one downtown. I just love the theater in Chicago, and I love the people.
You know, people who don't know you from way back, Burt, wouldn't realize that you did theater. I remember you famously having the Dinner Theater in Jupiter, and when I read your history and how much theater you did before you broke into movies and TV, it's really a background for you. How important was the theater you did before you got those other roles that made you so famous?
Well, it was everything to me. I loved it. I loved the theater, and it was very good to me. I mean, it kept me sharp in terms of, you know, knowing how to act a little bit, and the audiences were wonderful.
Excellent. You know, when I look back over your filmography, so much TV and so much film, and that was back in a day when people were either TV actors or film actors. I'm guessing you were one of the first people that really broke that barrier. You went back and forth throughout your career between film and TV. How come you were able to do that so easily?
Well, I didn't worry about that. I mean, one of the things, you're right, people did have a kind of a feeling about television actors and theater actors and whatever. But when I was doing Hawk in New York, we shot that at night, and usually the people had just come off the stage, and they were wonderful actors. They were theater actors, and I had a good time with all of them and met some wonderful actors, wonderful friends I still have, and I just had a good time working there.
Hawk was a 1966 series. It was 17 episodes. You played Detective Lieutenant John Hawk. You'd been in a ton of TV before that, and you were in a ton afterwards as well. You know, it's interesting because now is such, I call this another golden age for television, because there's so many networks competing for attention, so they're pouring a lot of money into real quality stuff. Do you ever look at the shows on today and say, you know what, maybe this is a good avenue for me right now? I mean, I could see you on a True Detective or something like that, having a really nice meaty role.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that particular show, I could have a good time on it. That's the only thing I would want to do is a show like that.
You know, it's funny because I see you doing that stuff. We've seen you do that type. You're one of the most, I don't think you get enough credit, but when I really look over your filmography, you've done everything. I mean, you were in Deliverance, but you're in The Cannonball Run, and you're in Boogie Nights, but you're in Smokey and the Bandit. You've gone back and forth from drama to comedy, probably not like a lot of people have done over their careers. You know, funny people do one serious movie, right? And serious people at some point do a funny movie. But you've gone not only back and forth from TV and movies and theater, but comedy and drama very deftly.
Well, I think that's important. I think that's the only way you keep your chops sharp. And I love doing theater in comedy. I love doing comedy because you get that immediate reaction. And if they don't like you, you get no reaction. You know, you find out right away. But I love it. I love doing theater, and I loved doing comedy.
in movies today, I don't see the things you were doing like in the 70s, early 80s, like Hooper, Cannonball Run, Stroker Ace, Smokey and the Bandit movies, such fun comedies, almost Brat Packish, but not really. I mean, other than like George Clooney and his gang doing the remakes of all those Ocean's 11 movies, nobody seems to be doing these fun buddy movies like that anymore. Do you miss that type of film?
Yeah, I do. That's exactly the kind of thing I would do if I got the group together. And that's the way you really have a good time. And they all know, if they work with me, that they're going to be treated right and they're going to have a good time.
I think that it's time for a third Cannonball Run movie, Bert. I think there's a bunch of young punks that you guys come back and take out.
Well, I don't know about that.
Come on, let's get the gang back together. Was there a favorite? I mean, you've done so much stuff, so I hate to put you on the spot like this, but is there anything that sticks out like this was my favorite set to work on, group to be with? If so many famous movies, and they're serious and award-filled or just fun and goofy but huge box office smashes, was there a particular time where you're like, you know what, that's when I was just having a blast. Everything was great at that time with those movies.
Those pictures you were talking about were a ball to do because they had, I had all my friends that were, you know, a little crazy and wonderful, and we had a great time. Gleason, for example, never said a word that was in the script. You just were fighting for your life. It was wonderful. I loved working with him. And that's where I met Sally, you know, who was I fell in love with. I think we had some great people in those pictures. Really good actors.
Some of those movies, I don't remember which ones, I think the Cannonball Run one for sure, had outtakes at the end. As a kid, for me, it was the first movie, I don't know, movies had probably done that before, maybe not, where at the end during the credits, they were showing the outtakes.
Yeah.
And it, if you see those, you could see that you guys were having a blast. Now, maybe you're incurring budget overruns and driving a director crazy because there were so many outtakes, but it seemed like it was such a good time, and it really shone through when you're watching it.
Well, I told Hal we were sitting in there one day, and we ran the outtakes. And I said, Hal, I don't know how to pay it. This is better than a movie. And why don't we run them in the picture? I said, do you think they'll like it? I said, I think they'll love it. So we started doing that. I think we were the first ones to do that.
And the director was like, I don't know if this is going to work. And you're like, I think this is just as good as the first 2 hours.
Well, as soon as they ran it and they heard the reaction, they knew we were on the right track.
My guess would be, and I don't know if you want to share anything here, Bert, but my guess would be that the times that during like Cannonball Run, those movies with your buddies, the downtime probably has some really great stories. I imagine when you was wrapped for the day, maybe had a day off before you were shooting again. I'm guessing you guys got out and tore up the town a little bit.
Yeah, we did. We did. We were outrageous. I mean, it was like, you know, they went to the Army base and said to all the guys that just got off the wildest whatever things that they were supposed to be doing and not supposed to be doing, you guys are free to go raise hell. And that's what we did. I mean, we really had a wonderful time.
I don't remember you ever being bailed out of jail. I don't remember, you know, Jerry Reed in jail or Terry Bradshaw or Dom DeLuise. I think you guys, while you had your fun, it sounds like you were either able to cover your tracks really well or never take it too far.
Well, I think it's fairly well known that my father was a police officer, the
right.
chief of police. And I have great respect for the police. And I start my conversations with him when I see him. My father was chief of police. But they were wonderful to us. And we got in some things that could have been trouble, but they took care of us.
I imagine that smile, that Burt Reynolds smile and pat on the back probably got you out of trouble a couple times as well.
Well, it didn't hurt.
You mentioned your father was chief of police. I was reading that You grew up a star football player. You went to Florida State, right?
Yes.
Florida State to play football. Injuries derailed your career early on. Do you still love the game of football? Do you follow it? And what do you think about it? I mean, just this week we were talking about, you know, Northwestern players said we're looking into possibly unionizing and all the concussion stories we hear. Bert, if you had a young son today, would you let him play football?
Well, you know, everybody says that I shouldn't, but I would. I would, because I think that there's so much about that game that, you know, changes your life. And, sometimes not for the best, but it's a good, wonderful sound, except when you hear bones breaking, you know, that's not good.
No, that's not good. You played a lot of football. Do you think that you had concussions that were undiagnosed or anything like that?
Oh,
or,
without a doubt. Yeah. A lot of people are quite convinced that I've had too many concussions.
Is that just people giving you a hard time, or do you think, man, football took its toll on me and I'm lucky I got out when I did?
I am lucky I got out when I did. I had the major wrecks. But I ran like I weighed 240, and I was not 240. and that's smart, you know.
So you were running through brick walls when you got that ball. You were ready to go.
I was ready to go.
Is there a role that, I mean, you've had so many roles, and it's any question I ask you is going to be unfair, because you'd have to have the, you know, a history teacher with you to remind you probably of everything you've been in over the years, but is there a role that was that is a favorite, that when people talk about Burt Reynolds, you want them to remember this character or this moment?
I think the longest yard. I loved doing it, and it was we did it the right way. I mean, we actually went into a prison, and Jimmy Carter was governor then, and he was great. He was just great to us. And he fixed it so we weren't taken prisoner. And we had all kinds of good times. And when we left there, we left four basketball courts and a football field and a lot of things for these guys that they didn't have before. And it was a good thing.
Is there a role that you passed on that you look back and go, man, I read the script, I swear that wasn't going to be good, but then that was really good when it came out. I should have done that one.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't want to tell you what they were because you'll think I'm an idiot.
That bad? Is there something?
That bad, yeah.
Can you give us one that you're like, oh, man, you weren't like offered Han Solo or...
I was, you know, bad.
You were offered Han Solo.
Yeah.
And is that one that you kind of regret? I mean, because Harrison Ford has had a love-hate relationship with that role over the years.
No, I don't regret that. But I regret, what picture do I regret?
You weren't supposed to be Sonny Corleone, were you?
No.
You would have been good.
Huh?
You would have been good as Sonny Corleone. I mean, James Caan was great, but you would have...
I mean, pictures that I should have done.
Oh,
Terms of Endearment is... definitely the one I should have done.
Man. Is there a role that you took that afterwards you're like, man, what was I thinking doing that one?
Oh, well, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
Sometimes, I mean, in any actor's life, I imagine that it's a trade-off, just like a politician, that a studio comes to you and says, Bert, we want you to be in this, you're going to be great, and you say, that's not going to be good. And they say, but, Bert, here's a big check. And then maybe you have to say, okay, but here's the thing. I want to make The Longest Yard, or I want to make some movie that maybe the studio's not going to love, but here's what I really want to do. Is that kind of how it works for an actor when they get to a certain point?
That's exactly how it works. That's how I got a lot of pictures that the studio didn't want to make, where I did one that I didn't want to make for them, and then they gave me one that they didn't want to make.
Bert, I haven't read a lot about you as a director or a producer. So many actors today, and they preach this a lot, especially to women in film, that you got to take control of your career, and the more that you can produce and be in charge of things, the better off you are. Do you wish you had gotten more into that end of the business, or do you do a lot of that, and I just don't realize it?
I do quite a bit of it, and I love it. It's the smartest thing you can do, because you learn the business, every part of it, and you also get to know actors that are wonderful actors that really haven't had a chance to play comedy or something like that, and I've used a lot of them.
What's next for Burt Reynolds? What are you looking forward to doing?
I'm looking for something that that really is going to stretch me a little bit, where I'm going to have a thing, something that nobody expects me to do, and whether it's a good film or not, I think it's important to do something that they don't expect me to do.
And is that in the works, or is that the project you're looking to find?
I'm looking to find it.
Looking to find it. All right. And then after that, we do Cannonball Run 3.
And what do Cannonball Run 3?
Burt Reynolds will be at Comic-Con this weekend. You can see him in Rosemont, WizardWorldComicCon.com. Burt, thank you so much for taking the time. We look forward to seeing you here this weekend.
God bless you, and I hope I get to see you.
The legendary Burt Reynolds. I'm Matt Bubala with you here on Radio 720 WGN.